Every culture, I would imagine, has its own little collection of sayings of wisdom, things that people have observed over time. They're never meant to be guarantees or absolutes, but just watching people, watching things that they collect these little sayings that are truisms for their culture and really for humanity. Bulgaria, for instance, is credited with the little saying, "Show me your friends and I will show you who you are." And just to teach the truth that it's important, those that we are close to, they will affect our lives. United States, we've had little sayings like, "Red sky in morning, sailors take warning. Red sky at night, sailors delight." You know, it doesn't always happen that way, but you watch the sky and there are certain weather patterns that have become relatively predictable. "A stitch in time saves nine," some have said. The truth that you need to take care of a problem when it's small before it gets big. Or saying like, "No husband was ever shot while doing the dishes," you know. Just little truisms like that. Sometimes we call these little sayings proverbs. And in our Bibles, of course, we have a book that is titled the Proverbs. And in them is a collection of wisdom, human relationships and human behaviors and things that if applied, will be life-altering for us in a good way. And so these are different than those that come from the cultures of the world because these came from God. Now, at the same time, they're not meant to be just absolute guarantees in every situation. Others that we'll find supported throughout Scripture, and they are absolute guarantees. But this wisdom comes from all the years that God has had of watching people, plus His own infinite wisdom. And so these are things that can really affect us. And so I'm going to begin a study here in the book of Proverbs. I would call it a summer series, but I know it's going to go far beyond that. But looking at this collection of Proverbs that has been left for us. Now, you and I have studied Proverbs together before, but my mind and my heart has been continually drawn back to this, especially as I watch what's happening in our world and in our own United States culture. There is so much out there that defies all kinds of logic. And as people of God and people who claim to be people of God, we have got to stick with what is right and true. And this wisdom that we see in the book of Proverbs are things that we have got to retain. We have got to apply. They have got to be consistent things in our lives so we can have the impact on our society that we are intended to have. So we'll begin this journey as God gives us opportunity. Today's largely going to be an introduction to it. We're not going to get into too much too deeply, but to begin our journey. We're going to start in chapter 1 of Proverbs. My approach will be largely topical because the same topics are dealt with in multiple places at multiple times. But Proverbs chapter 1, we'll read the first 7 verses of this chapter. And it says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now let's stop and pray before we go any further. Father, I just ask that you would direct our thoughts, and even in a times we're taking a very broad look at where we'll go over the weeks as you give us opportunity, I pray that you would direct the thoughts this morning to be able to see something that we can take home with us that really is life-changing, because that's what your word does. And so I thank you for this opportunity, and I commit our time to you. In Jesus' name, amen. The author of Proverbs, as we begin this introduction, is told to us in verse 1 of chapter 1 that these are the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel. So very clear who this is identified as, the one that has authored a good share of this. Solomon, the son of David, was a favored king in the eyes of God. Because of David's love and faithfulness and commitment, God was showing great love and commitment to Solomon himself. And early in his reign as king, God appeared to Solomon and said, "What do you want? What can I give you? I'll give you anything you want," basically. And Solomon, at that point in his life, and we only wish he would have stayed with it, but at that point in his life, he said, "I'm just a child. I don't know how to do this. This is too big for me." So God said, "I'll give you wisdom. I'll make you wiser than anyone." And I believe to this day, with the exception of Jesus Christ, Solomon was the wisest person that ever walked this earth. And in you read about those accounts, that appearance and that gift from God, you find as you go on that Solomon in his lifetime wrote around 3,000 Proverbs. He also composed over 1,000 songs. So he's very prolific, and he seemed to have a desire to pass on the wisdom that God had given to him. But if you know anything about Solomon's life, you know that it didn't go all that well. There's nothing wrong with the wisdom. Solomon just didn't follow his own advice. And so we have this collection, though, that comes to us from the mind of God that will show us things. As Solomon wrote this to us, put these down on paper so many years ago. Now, the purpose of Proverbs is given to us in those verses that we read. But part of it, it's spelled out here, is to provide wisdom for living life. It's just about life. Now, if you look at these verses again, verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, righteousness, justice, fairness. Give prudence to the simple, knowledge, discretion to the youth. And he goes on that way. He's using a lot of terms that are basically synonymous, saying the same thing in several different ways. This is to help you know how to live. And so he's going to embrace and discuss many, many different topics. Topics that will hit virtually every area of our lives. He's going to talk about our marriages. He's going to talk about our children and how to raise children. He's going to talk about our finances, how to handle them. He's going to talk about our relationships with others. He's going to talk about our work. He's going to talk about our speech. And on and on and on it goes. We'll be looking at a number of them, God willing. But this instruction, this wisdom for living life, maybe it's summarized one of the well-known and repeated concepts. Chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, he says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. This wisdom for living life, it's here for us. And it's there for us to learn from and be embraced. But another thing that is pointed out here and will be pointed out throughout the book is to teach the fear of the Lord. Now, we don't talk about the fear of the Lord. We're all about the love of God and all of those things that make us feel good. And we ignore concepts like this. But he says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of it all, the beginning of knowledge. Elsewhere, he will say it's the beginning of wisdom. There has to be, and I'm not going to get into it this morning, but one of these early times, we will look at this in depth. The fear of the Lord, having that proper attitude towards him, that respect, that awe, that reverence, that will affect every single thing that we do. When I look at the chaos in our society and the things, the insanity that is trying to be normalized, I think it comes right back to this. There is no fear of God. And we who claim his name have got to embrace this. And this is one of the things that Solomon is emphatic about and will teach throughout it. So a couple of things there regarding the purpose of the book. Now, the content of the book of Proverbs, there are three basic divisions to the book of Proverbs. Chapters 1 through 9 are largely narrative, where he'll address a subject and develop it. And a lot of it is written as a father to his son. And so while, dads, you're not getting a Father's Day message today, you're going to get a bunch of them as we go through this. It's written, he says over and over, my son, my son, my son. And some people believe that that was just kind of Solomon instructing younger people. I choose to believe he was speaking to his literal son. And probably his oldest son, a man by the name of Rehoboam, who would later become king of Israel. But things that he wanted to instill, to impart, to teach, to drive into the consciousness and into the very life existence of his son, important things. We see that in chapters 1 through 9. Chapters 10 through 24 are then largely proverbial. And there might be a verse, there might be two verses, some rare occasions three, but it's a lot of times rapid fire, just hitting one topic after another. Those little sayings like I was talking about before that teach a truism, a good share of the time, these things are what are going to take place. And so it's very topical. And as I said, I'm going to be taking a topical approach to this particular study. Then chapters 25 through 31 are later editions. And in a brief sense, some other authors wrote some Proverbs as well. Much of these were also written, are attributed to Solomon, but other people added them to the collection later on. But we have those three divisions in the book of Proverbs. Now, we also have three types of Proverbs that we will see as we go through this. And I want to illustrate and have you turn to a couple of different places as we go. But you will see Proverbs that contrast. And a lot of times we'll see the word but in between. Two ideas, two thoughts that contrast in order to teach a truth. You can actually see it here in verse 7 of chapter 1. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And it doesn't have the word but here, but you could insert that. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. But if you would look with me at chapter 10, in verses 1 and 2, we see examples of this. Chapter 10, verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son makes a glad father, but A foolish son is a sorrow to his mother. So the contrast there between the wise child and the foolish child. Verse 2, treasures gained by wickedness do not profit, but righteousness delivers from death. And so we have these proverbs that contrast to teach a truth. We then have proverbs that complete. It's a connecting point. They use an illustration type thing to help teach a particular truth. Chapter 11, verse 25 is an example of that. Whoever brings blessing, excuse me, will be enriched, and the one who waters will himself be watered. So a lot of times you'll see these completive type proverbs connected with an and. It brings two thoughts together to complete the thought that he's wanting to communicate. Chapter or verse 29, whoever troubles his own household will inherit the wind, and the fool will be servant to the wise of heart. So that instruction coming in from two different angles, you need to live wisely. Plain and simple, you need to live wisely. And then you see proverbs that compare. There's two separate thoughts that are used to teach a truth comparatively. Chapter 25 and verse 11, several verses here that actually employ this style. 25:11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. So we talked last week about the gift of mercy. That person just knows what to say at the right time. And that kind of appropriate word is a beautiful thing, he's saying. It's like this setting of gold, or an apple of gold in a setting of silver. Verse 12, like a gold ring or an ornament of gold is a wise reprover to a listening ear. So again, something precious. Someone is sharing wisdom with you. You have a listening ear. You're willing to hear it. You're willing to listen to them. It's this thing of beauty. It's a precious thing. Verse 13, like the cold of snow in the time of harvest is a faithful messenger to those who send him. He refreshes the soul of his master. And so these comparison kinds of things. Now, nobody who's harvesting wants to see snow. That seems inappropriate, but it's referring to that it's been so hot, and then you get this cool front that comes through. And how refreshing that is. He's saying the person that's faithful, the person that you can trust is just like that. Brings that kind of refreshment to you. And so we have three types of proverbs that we see. There are also three key terms that we will see used repeatedly in the book of Proverbs. You'll see the word knowledge used many, many times. And knowledge could be defined as the accumulation of facts. Just taking in information, learning things. Might refer to it as book learning. You know, you're learning things and bringing them into your memory bank. That's one thing that Solomon will encourage over and over. Then you will see the word wisdom used. And wisdom could be defined as the correct use of knowledge. Knowledge cannot be an end in itself. You've got to then apply what you use. So, for example, everybody that has a vehicle has to have a fuel source. If you understand that, some of you drive gas, some of you drive diesel, some might even drive electric, I don't know. But all of it has to have a fuel source. I know that my pickup runs on gas, all right? I know that. Wisdom then tells me I've got to go to the gas station, put gas in. I can't just know it needs gas. If I keep driving it saying everything's going to be fine and don't stop and put gas in, I'm going to stop at some point. It won't run anymore. So wisdom is putting the knowledge to a correct use. Then a third word that Solomon uses very often is understanding. And that refers to discernment and discretion. So it's just another level of applying the wisdom. Now, use this same analogy, being the fiscally conservative person that I've always been, I know that gas is expensive. And when you're a teenager, buying your own, even if it was cheap, and when I started driving, gas was a quarter. I'm telling you my age, all right? So that was relatively cheap, but when you're buying it yourself, it's expensive. So I never would hot rod. I never was one to hot rod because it cost money. I was never one to burn rubber because I had to buy my own tires. Tires are expensive. So that was the way I applied understanding to the situation. Now, I would never own a Corvette, even if I could afford one, because you rev the engine twice and then you have to stop and fill up again, you know? So that's the understanding part of this. But these are the three terms Solomon will use repeatedly. And he's encouraging his own son. And then as we get a chance to read in on this years later, to hear from God as well. And so just a little bit of an introduction here to the book of Proverbs. And as God gives us the opportunities again, I always want to say that we'll continue to go deeper. Now, some people will look at the book of Proverbs and like I said, you know, they know what happened to Solomon. They've read the book of Ecclesiastes where there's this bitter, disillusioned man complaining and griping. He knows that he's wasted his life. And he's torn up about it. But the problem was not with the advice. The problem was that Solomon didn't follow his own advice. This is here for us. It is here for us for a reason. And this wisdom for living life. Wisdom is not an end in itself, but it gives us that foundation, that ability to hear from God and then respond to it. You know, this past week, there was a horrible plane accident in India. You might have read about it. You know, just after takeoff, a plane crashed, and 240 plus people lost their lives. One person miraculously walked away from it somehow. But I just read an article, and of course, everything's theory right now. They're trying to figure out what happened. But I read an article by a pilot of an airline, experienced pilot, and just from watching video footage and the way the wings of the plane were tilted, he had a theory, and he was suggesting that it's probably going to boil down to co-pilot error. That probably the pilot had given an instruction to raise the landing gears, but instead of grabbing that handle, he had accidentally grabbed the one that changed the flaps on the wings and drove the plane down instead of up. And who knows if that will turn out to be the case or not, but if it was, you think of that. These tragic and avoidable mistakes. But that is the way of humanity. We are always grabbing the wrong handle. It's in us. It's our DNA. We've got to grab the right handle. God's word. We cannot stray from it. We cannot negotiate around it. We cannot try to compromise. We've got to stand firm on what he said. The book of Proverbs is going to help us with that. Again, wisdom is not an end in itself, but intimacy with God, with the retaining of what he has taught us, will lead us to the solution for life. It will be life-changing, life-altering. It's going to make things go a whole lot better if we do it his way. Let's pray. Father, I pray that from this, even this introduction, there's something you might help us take home, that something, some truth that we read here would just grip us, because it's your word. I surrender this time, this series, to you. I pray that in everything we do, we'll come with soft hearts, surrendered hearts, ready, even though sometimes we're going to come away feeling scolded, spanked, maybe. No, it's been my experience reading Proverbs. Still, it's because you're good and you're gracious and you're willing to correct our behavior. So, Lord, I commit this body to you. I pray that in all things we would know that you are God. As we looked at, Morgan read earlier, taste and see that the Lord is good. Thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.